So let's just look at 1 John, and let's just kind of read it. And I'm nothing deep and concentrated tonight, but it's just, come on, there's some clues in here that would help us talk to people. And have you ever sat down and opened up the book of 1 John with somebody and said, okay, now let's go through this, and let me show you where this isn't right today. Oh, here we go. Number one, verse one, chapter one, verse one. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. Parentheses. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Okay, so this John and these guys, they're supposed to be the testimony, the witness, see? That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also, here's what they say is the key to 1 John, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So the rest of the stuff, if you don't stick with this stuff, then you haven't not only got fellowship with the people, you haven't got fellowship with God. And there's the crux of 1 John to the modern Christian. So if we do some of these things that we're not supposed to be doing according to this, then we lose our fellowship. Oh, I see. Okay, well. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Oh, okay, so if we read the rest of these things down here, this will help us with our joy today. No. Because we can't do what's coming up here. We can do a little better. We can stop sinning a little bit. And we can stop, as we see in chapter 2, they're hating our brother, sort of. Maybe not. And if you do hate somebody, your brother, Christian, whatever, you're done for. So how can this stuff coming up here, that our joy may be full? Right, we get into 1 John and we realize that the joy is based on their walk. So yeah, we know that. If we're doing something right, and it's a Christian thing to do. It fits all the categories, you know. Nobody's going to stumble over it. Are you kidding? People stumble over us when we even do the right thing. So there's some wisdom applied to this stuff. The flesh, the whole deal. So if we're doing the right thing, we're going to have a great joy. My joy is not based on my walk. I might be happy. I might be feeling good. I might be not so sleepy. But my joy is not based on my walk. My joy actually is based on His walk. Because He imputes His walk to my walk, actually. And He took care of sin so that my walk is not doing anything illegal as such. Because without the law, there is no sin. There is no transgression. So, from that standpoint, my walk is fine. But I know better compared to Paul's teachings and the anger and the different things, you know. So this is not how we get our joy today. So if anybody out there still grabs 1 John and thinks that, does he see the verse? Oh, there's that verse. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Well, here we go. Let's read these things and I'll have better joy. Well, no, you won't. 5. This then, here we go. Now, this then is a message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. Okay, now what is that message? Well, I'm going to tell you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Well, that's true. That's good. That's true. You know, he is light. And if you're in him, then there's no darkness because he's light. Well, that's a good thing. Now, watch where they take this thing, though. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk, there's our walk in darkness. We lie and do not the truth. I like that, King James. We lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So here's where this highfalutin, snottyfalutin, clicky, we're good Christian people cliques come together here is because, see, we are all walking in the light, and if you do something wrong, we can't hang around you. Well, Paul doesn't teach that at all. Comes to a point, but not just, you know. So here's the spiritualizing thing. So are you walking in the light? Well, I am, because I'm saved and Christ is spiritually certain. That's what we're talking about here. As we go on to this thing, we see what it is to walk. Okay, anyway. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Okay, so is he talking about what we're saying about sin? Like Paul says, no, because look at the next verse. If we confess our sins, which means we have no sin, is the fact that you're not sinning, because verse 9 uses the word sin in plural. So they're talking about sins. Do we tell people we don't sin? In an average conversation, we don't say that. But if we have the time, we'll try to show them how Christ took care of the law so that it's not a sin. But it's a bad thing to do, and it'll bring the judgment seat of Christ, but I won't. And you lose them right there. But you just refresh them and show them about it. But it isn't, we're not saying we have no sin. My body is full of sin. My flesh is full of sin. And I follow my flesh. Quite often, matter of fact. So did Paul. I'm going to say quite often, but he did say that when he tried to do the right thing, you know, it wouldn't happen. Okay, so if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know that I say to people, well, is that, if that's the case, then if you go to confession, you can be saved again. And they all say, no, no, no. Well, what's it mean then? They'll never have an answer for you. So if you just confess your sin, does that make you a Christian? Well, no. But it says right here that you're forgiven. That you're forgiven, make you a Christian? Well, then they don't have an answer. Nobody's answered it yet. Okay, in verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Have you sinned? Well, there you go. There is no law, so no, I haven't. That's not what they're talking about here. We're talking about that we have not sinned. We have no sin. If we confess our sins, plural, that means things we're doing. Verse 6 and 7, the word walk is in there. And it gets more detail in chapter 2. You with me? You know all this stuff already. But isn't it nice that you can pick a book out of the Bible like this and don't get snookered by it? We still need to read this book. Well, why is that? Well, because this is telling people what's coming up. And this also explains, where is it in Acts where the Spirit of God is put upon their flesh? That's in Acts chapter 2. In order for them to do this, what we're talking about here in 1 John, they're going to have the Spirit of God upon their flesh. We don't have the Spirit of God upon our flesh. We have the Spirit of God inside us. The flesh is cut, we're cut away from the flesh, but that sin is still in there. Oh, is it ever? Okay, here, let's detail this thing out some more. This isn't to us today. My little children, these things are right unto you, that ye sin not. See, now here we go. Here's their way out. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. So if you don't sin, then you don't need Jesus Christ. Is that what we're saying here? If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Well, of course. But we're not talking about today. And if you've got advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, then you better confess those sins, because he's there to be your advocate. And he is a propitiation for our sins. He's a substitute. He's the one that took the penalty for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Well, that sounds so good. That just sounds so today. No, it's not. Look at the next verse. And hereby we do know that we know him, if what? We keep his commandments. Okay, so you show somebody, we'll say, are you keeping God's commandments? Well, yeah, I think I've done the 10. Oh, there's a lot more than just the 10. There's a whole book of them, the law. And let's take it one step further. Did you obey the 10 commandments? Well, you know there's one you're not supposed to worry about? No, I don't know that. Well, remember to keep the Sabbath day. That's not even what we're supposed to be doing. You know that Paul talks about his commandments? Paul has his own commandments. Yeah, those are things that he tells us we ought to be doing. But if we don't keep Paul's commandments, are we no longer saved, kind of a thing? Well, here it says right here, if we keep his commandments, then we know him. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, oh, we'll see here, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Now, how do you know you're in him? Is because you are keeping his word. That means you believe that you're a Christian based on your walk. And there's thousands of people that think that. And talk about honorable, or holy, and devout. That's where they're coming from. You know that you are in him because you keep his word and keep his commandments. You make yourself a Christian. Aren't you somebody special or what? Well, I'm sorry. I'm just not that good of a Christian. That's just the way it is. Sorry. Even as your pastor, that's probably disappointing to think that I just don't say that I keep his word and keep his commandments all the time. So I don't have the love of God perfected in me. And I might not even be in him then. No, I have the love of God perfecting me. How do you know that? Based on what the scriptures tell me, he has cleansed my soul. He separated my soul from my flesh. He's imputed his righteousness. He's made me his righteousness. That's pretty good perfected love, don't you think? Certainly isn't based on my walk or keeping his word. Verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk. Okay, so if you say that you're a Christian, look at the next phrase, even as he walked. We should walk in his footsteps, and we should walk like he did. And everybody says, well, I just have eternal forgiveness and eternal love for everybody. Oh, that's so wonderful. Because Jesus did. He did. You get down on some people. Anyway. I think it's in Peter, it says that Christ gave them his footsteps to follow. Yeah, in the tribulation, they're going to have to walk the way he walked, because he walked doing the right thing, and they're going to have to walk that way. And he says that he loves his people during that tribulation, because he's going to have to chastise them and get them back on the trail. They've got to be on the trail. They've got to be walking like he did. And when they don't, they confess it, and everything's fine. But don't you be yapping the fed during the tribulation that you think you're keeping his commandments. Because if you are and you're not, you're in big, big trouble. Okay. I know. We've been over this before. It's just, I know. I look at 1 John and I read it and I think, oh, I should talk about that. Well, you have about 50,000 times. This is so obviously not today. Totally. Absolutely. Not written to us. Eight. And again, a new commandment I write unto you, which, we haven't done seven yet. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which ye had from the beginning. Oh, okay, so you go back to the Old Testament there. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. You shine the true light when you're walking the right walk. Okay, here we go. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. There you go. Now, see if I can find this thing here. Hang on a minute here. Chapter 3, let's see, here's 1, 2, 3. Chapter 3, verse 14 says, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. That's it. Your salvation is actually based on the fact whether you love the brethren or not. Well, isn't that an amazing thing? Because we love the brethren. We know that we love it, so that if you don't love the brethren, then you can't possibly be saved. That's what he's saying here. That's exactly what's being said here. Does Paul teach that? Paul doesn't teach that. He tells us all sorts of reasons to be there for the brethren. But your salvation certainly isn't dependent upon it. See, this is when I wish we had a whole string of those people listening in here. Well, we'll just give you some ammo. You can mark your Bible if you haven't already done so. And maybe if you get a chance, show somebody. Just take them to 1 John. Take them nicely. Say, well, let me show you some stuff here that just so conflicts with what Paul teaches. And I always tell them, Galatians chapter 1, this is where Paul says, we're to follow Paul only. Anyway, where are we at here? Let's go here to 10 probably. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Boy, wouldn't that be something? If all was we just love the brethren and we'll quit stumbling like we all are, ahem. Unless, so you stumble, I wonder who it is you don't like. Who are you mad at? But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh. See, there's an is in darkness. That could be a spirit. He's in darkness. But he also walks in darkness. That's a physical thing. And knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. So he's walking a dirty walk. Paul talks about that in Ephesians chapter 4 somewhat. But he says, because you haven't been taught from the real Christ, the real risen Savior, then your understanding is darkened. But that's nothing to do with hating your brother. That's thinking like a Gentile. That's thinking like a lost person. That's what that's all about. In Ephesians 4. Verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Well, that's nice. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children. Oh, there's little children again. Thought their sins were forgiven. Because ye have known the Father. That's why you want to have Sunday school. You want to teach the kids all about God. And you want to get the teens together, the young men, and get them to stop doing the wrong things. See, this is all, that's what those kid cartoons are all about. The vegetables that talk, and the bunnies and the bees, you know. They're trying to get the kids to do the right thing. And that means they'll love God then. The stuff is full of that stuff. Haven't you heard the cucumber talk to you? What's the matter with you? Here we go. Here's some more stuff. 15. This is how Christian. This is why the world out there doesn't want anything to do with Christianity, because these people think they're better than everybody else. They do. You just know that. You never could tell them that, but you know some people that are into this stuff. They just think they're doing, you know, well, they give me sin once in a while, but we confess it. No, they really think they're special. Now they put this on you. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Uh-oh. So you can't have any, you know, enjoyment out there? Because if you do, you don't have the love of the Father in you. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. Boy, isn't that true? I mean, that's a true statement there. That's what it's after. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. That's so much what's out there. Is not of the Father. Well, of course not, but is of the world. True. And in 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, I think it is, where they will have to escape the pollutions of the world. They'll have to stay away from that world. They'll have to. Well, that's going to be pretty tough. Well, they have to. Spirit of God's upon their flesh. They will be able to do it. We sure certainly can't. So in verse 17, as the world passeth away and the lust thereof, and it does, he that doeth the will of God. There it is again. There's that doeth. There's that doing. The will of God abideth forever. So it's all based on your walk and your works. Little children, it is the last time. Well, that's a clue. And as ye have heard, the Antichrist shall come. Even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us today, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. Now, that's tribulational stuff right there, verse 19. But boy, don't you see that happening more and more? Out from Christianity comes these modern teachers that are wrong. More and more. the Great Commission got started by that missionary. My memory. Carey, William Carey. From amongst the Baptists, you know. So they went out from us, but they were not of us. You got church members that are going to leave, and they're going to get something else started. And it says they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest, that they were not all of us. They want to have their own little glory out there. They do that too. Now here's one, verse 20. Now this is amazing that people would claim this to you, but you have an unction from the Holy One. You know, Bob, you know, Bill would always pray for the unction for the pastor that night. So all of a sudden this pastor is supposed to know all things. And if that pastor did know all things, the people would die in the church. Well, wait a minute, they did. That pastor did know a lot of things about what's going on in their lives. Was it an unction? No, it was an observation. It's called observation. Please give my pastor the observation skills so he can see what I'm doing wrong in my life and he can help me check it. Yeah, right. But we have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Right there. Ask this guy or these people, do you know all things? And then tie that into verse 27. Ask him, are you anointed? They all say they are. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and need not that any man teach you. So between the unction and the anointing, you know everything. And who is it that gets, by the way, speaking of hating their brother, who is it that gets mad at who over this stuff? Do we get mad at them because they're following the Jesus gospel and the Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Peter, James, you know, do we get mad at them about that stuff? No. We get mad. We get kind of sarcastic and critical. How can they miss that kind of stuff? But they get mad at us. They're the ones that walk away from most conversations. They're the ones that hate their brother more than we do. Anyway, how are we doing? We got time here. Let's see here. 21. See, now that you got the unction, so you know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it. Oh, okay. And that no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? Oh, there we go. Sure, people deny that Jesus is the Christ. They deny that he's the Savior. Sure, that's fine. But is that the issue for our salvation? You see, if you're a liar, you're walking in darkness. And you can't be a Christian if you're a liar. If you're Jesus is the Christ. That's the issue. Remember, it goes back to John. During the gospel days and during the tribulation, the issue is Jesus the Christ? That is the issue. Acts chapter 8, that Ethiopian eunuch. What did he have to say he believed? He believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Does that make you a Christian today? Ask these people that. In fact, there's a lot of Christians out there that don't believe that Jesus was the Son of God in that clean fashion. Really? Okay. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. Well, they can talk about, well, see, when you deny salvation, you're denying the Son. Okay, if you want to say that, go ahead, I guess. But it doesn't make you fit these verses right here. The same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Acknowledge the Son, what? That he's the Christ. Okay. Let that, therefore, abide in you. Which you've heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, there's that eternal security. No, not eternal security, because the whole sentence starts off the word if. If that which you have heard the beginning shall remain in you, you shall all also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Which definitely means also that if you don't keep that stuff, then you won't continue in the Son and in the Father. That's in that day, that's the way it'll be. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. So that one sentence right there, that people bring the whole 1 John into your life today. Not at all. few things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. So the devil's still seducing. That's, we can accept that one. Let that therefore, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. Oh, isn't that exciting? And ye need not that any man teach you. I think that's what a lot of people that don't go to church believe anymore. And they, we still need to be taught this Bible. But after a while, you know, people just give up and they just don't open it up anymore. You need not that any man teach you, but the same as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. See, that takes that anointing to abide in him. 28. Now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear. See, here's a big clue. This is just before the coming of Christ. This is not before the rapture. This is before his coming. We may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And I've told you the story, I'm sure, 1,000 times. You know, people are so concerned where they're going to be, where the rapture, what they're going to be raptured out of. I don't want to be raptured out of a casino or a bar or something. Why? Well, I don't want to be ashamed when he comes. He's not coming. You're going. He's not coming. Different. I have confidence when the rapture comes, I'll be clean because he cleansed me. Doesn't matter what I'm doing. He's got it handled. Here's a concluding sentence. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth, there's your law, doeth righteousness, is born of him. Oh, see, there's that born of him stuff. Yeah, born again. John chapter 3. No. John chapter 3 is talking about the nation of Israel needs to be born again. Ye. Back to Genesis 12. Same thing here in 1 John. He talks about this in chapter 2 there, verse 9. Chapter 3, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. So if you say you're born of God, then what are you doing out there? You can't commit any sins. What are you doing? It says you can't sin because you're born of God in verse 9. Well, I can't sin? I just did. Well, then you're not born of God. They think that God's going to prevent you from doing wrong, from sinning. I think people find out that, no, he's not going to stop you. And so the young people think that God is not alive because God doesn't whack on the mom and dad that are doing things they shouldn't be doing. Well, we're going to go to the movies tonight, and it's an R, or it's a, even a PG, even a G anymore has got innuendos and stuff in it. Well, is that going to mean you're no longer born again? Because you could do it. God's not going to stop you. Okay. Oh, let's see. What's the time of day here? And I know you know this stuff here, you know. Chapter 3 is a sermon in itself. Let's just park early here tonight. And chapter 3 just is a fantastic chapter that show people that they don't know what they're talking about. Because everybody knows. Any Christian out there, they might not admit it, but every Christian out there knows that they still do things wrong. Well, okay, now what's the deal? Paul, we know what the deal is. It's still the sin that's in our flesh. But it's like Paul says, we didn't do it. Sin did it. And in the tribulation crowd, in the gospel crowd, they really don't think they're sinning. They think their walk is that clean and holy. It just amazes me how standards have fallen. They just think everything is fine. So, yeah, we'll just park it there. And you go through 1 John 3 and 4. Until you have 3, 4, and 5. And see if you can just come up with the stuff that you need to show people that, man, this isn't what Paul teaches at all. And where is it at? Galatians chapter 1. That's Paul only. Sorry, folks. That says Paul only. King James only, rightly divided not by verse but by book, because of Paul.